Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Oh, my goodness, man. We're not going to say it.
What?
That we're excited.
But we are.
We are. The opportunity to be able to come to everybody that we're talking to every day. We love hearing from you, your feedback,
absolutely,
comments, writing to us. You know, when you write to us, we actually share it.
Yeah.
With other people, we do.
Well, and talking about the topics that we talk about every week are so, so important. I mean, we're just here in life, just for a vapor, a moment in time, and we've been entrusted with so many things. And for us, we live in the United States, an amazing country. So be able to talk
I know when you say a vapor, you're actually referring to the book of James. It says that life is as long as a vapor.
Yeah.
You think of it, just smoke just comes and it just kind of
fades
today,
away. And
gone tomorrow.
We're
making the most, man.
Yes,
my goodness, smoke's being heard all around the world. Well, today we're talking about, you know, citizenship. You think about it, the more you learn about it, it's like, I'm so grateful that, you know, I was able to be a citizen in America.
Yeah.
And then I remember we took the citizenship test on our program before.
Of us are so blessed, we were just born here. We had to do nothing.
Well, I remember giving you the test and Pat the test.
And Pat failed so bad.
I think we had the Jeopardy music playing or something like that. And we just laughed our way through 100 questions that we almost didn't know.
Yes.
Well, I was reading the answers, so I was aware of the answers.
It's amazing how prideful we can become when we just happen to be born here, right?
Yeah, I thought you were pretty prideful.
I counseled Pat, and, you know, he was all right, but
he's a humble man.
Yes, he is.
He's a humble man. Ask him.
After the test, you know.
After the test. Well, listen, legal immigration,
you
know, we think about it. Some of us are born in America. Some of us come to America, and many of our ancestors, other than the First Nation people that were migrated over.
You know, that would make us all kind of immigrants.
I was on the Penta Santa and the Maria coming over here. Our family came in through Virginia, and the Lancasters did. You know, we're coming from the War of the Roses over in England.
Ooh, a lot of stuff in y'all
lineage.
Came
down through Tennessee, and then the upper parts of, it was all one state back then, but around...
That's good that we're talking about it, because a lot of people need to remember that we all came here, you know, we all came here.
Yeah. And then one of the things that they, you know, when they finally declared, you know, a reason to declare our independence from the king.
Yes.
That was the day, this is so important to understand, the day that people who lived in America decided that we do not want to be a colonized thing from Great Britain.
Yeah.
You know, that we're not a colony. At that point we said, we don't want to be a colony of Great Britain. We want to have
our own
independence, our own nation, one nation under God, not under a king.
Mm.
And so when people talk about, you know, colonization, things going, that was definitely happening.
Mm-hmm.
But when we declared our independence and we had the war, you know, the Revolutionary War is revolting against the fact that we're not a colony.
Mm.
It's not going to work. The king was coming in, kicking doors in by the soldiers, overtaxing, doing all these
27
different things.
27 reasons for the Declaration of Independence.
Correct. And it's just, if you read those reasons, it's so beautiful. It's much more than taxation without representation.
It's not just a document. We say these words to say Declaration. No, it's a statement, a 27-reason statement why we are departing from
And some people, you might not know this, some of our audience is all around the world, but there was this, what happened was the founding fathers of America, they got together and they wrote a declaration, just basically a statement of saying, we have to, based on our present conditions, to declare our independence from the king. And they had 27 different reasons why that they did that. And we call that the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain.
That's right.
From the king. And so that began a war called the American Revolutionary War.
They just didn't accept that and said, okay. They said, no, you're not going to leave us.
Right.
And
it actually started, you know, that they realized that it's with their life and their wealth and everything. They put everything on. They said, listen, this is worth living for and it's worth dying for. And they knew that if they lost, the difference between...
This may not work out.
Yeah, right. Sometimes, well, yes, and it did work out. And if you hear about the history of America, there was miracle after miracle after miracle that, you know, George Washington said that God is involved in the affairs of men.
Mm.
And he was a praying man. And
he would know.
Yeah, he would definitely know.
He would know.
And it was just amazing different things. And so we're talking about, you know, so you have people trying to conflate, mix together, you know, citizenship, immigration, and illegal immigration. America's made up of immigrants.
Yes.
You know, whether you're born here, if you go further back, your family came over. But in regards to illegal immigration, it's like, you know, you can go to a bank and you can borrow money from the bank, or you can go to the bank and take money from the bank.
Yes.
No, one is actually a legal transaction, and the other is an illegal transaction.
Right.
Whether you're a citizen or not a citizen, you're breaking the law, and since that was illegal to rob the bank, they say you're going to go to jail for that.
That's right.
You know, and so if that happens to us, to an American citizen, mm-hmm. how much more would it be from another citizen from another country who comes over and breaks the law? That would be an illegal situation,
sure.
versus just coming and declare, you know, and there's plenty of people lined up to be able to come in the country. And
people are coming. We'll be talking further in this program, how many people migrate, come to the United States. It's millions every year.
Yeah.
Every year. Our borders are open. And I think it's a testament to how wonderful this nation is. We're only 330 million people. And you don't see people lining up and taking ships to go to Venezuela.
Yeah,
I mean, they're coming to the United States.
I want to get into Afghanistan today.
Yeah,
no. Nothing personal, Afghanistan.
It's a blessing. So, I mean, I understand why people want to come to the borders. I really do. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else.
But there's
a process.
I think this is important, too, to talk about, too, before we go to the segment, is that as a church, as Christians, you know, we may have borders for a nation, but as the church, for example, people who follow Jesus, there are no borders for us in regards to international Christians, our kingdom of global Christians, and so global citizens, but global Christians, and so we have people ministering to people on all sides of every border. There's Christians everywhere, but in regards to a nation, just like a fish tank has to have an aquarium to be able to hold a fish together, there's without borders, there is no nation. You know, there is no nation there, and you think about China has the wall, the Great Wall of China. Hmm. You have even the papal see, the Pope has a big old fence around there.
Israel has a wall.
I mean, over and over again, you have to have borders. Without borders, you find out when you run into a border because they won't let you pass.
Most people in the world believe in borders. It's called the brick or the stucco around their house. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's amazing. They close the door, you know.
Even lock it.
Yeah. So obviously, to be able to have a life, have home, you have to have borders. But also, if you have room, you let people come to your place and your space. And so we call that, immigration coming in.
Yeah. And they can come into your borders, they come into your home if they act accordingly. But if they don't, right.
If they come in illegally into your home,
you
we call that burglary.
Yeah, you call someone to get them out, right?
The law says that if you enter a conveyance without permission, that they call that burglary.
Yeah.
Even if you're a citizen, even if you've been a citizen for four generations, you're still going to go to jail as an American citizen because you entered illegally into the house. It's called burglary.
It's a great discussion that we're having because so many people, this has been politicized in so many ways, and people are getting wrong, ideas of what's being discussed. But There is a legal way to come in. At the same time, we need to have compassion for those that have come in and they are illegal and they've built a home here in America.
Yeah, we got to go to a break. But God says very specifically how we treat the person who is in that situation, and that, love has no borders, but nations have
nations
borders.
Do.
So we should never not love beyond our borders. As a matter of fact, America is a very compassionate nation. We're talking about citizenship in America, immigration, how important it is, legal immigration. And John, talk to us.
Yes, listen, we're going to go right to new Americans, new citizens, who actually talk to us about the importance of why we need to come in legally into our country. It's really amazing and it's awesome to hear them talk from their own, personal encounter, what it meant to them to become a citizen of the United States. Take a look.
Today I became a United States citizen. Today I become an American citizen. I am so proud to become an American citizen today.
It was my dream a long time ago to come here and become American.
I came from Iran, and today after 47 years, fortunately I became American. Today I'm so happy, it's my best day.
Candidates, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, please raise your right hand. And repeat after me.
We need to know how to write and speak English, make sure you knew and understand the language. We went over the history and our past, see, what the country was about and all the history we went through. And my mom wanted us for us to be here because the gang members we had in our country and how struggle it was to get a job and less job opportunities. For me, that's best for us because like now I'm trying to become a vet and it's a better future in the school. Industry for me.
And I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America.
I'm ready to defend the country and the Constitution. I like to become an American citizen because of the great opportunities that they have, the freedom of everything. America is the best country. I feel it's unfair for the people that come in here illegally. I think everybody's coming in the United States, they should go through all the process and come here illegally.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
America, when I came here, everybody, I appreciate, they helped me a lot, especially people from church. Also, they came here to congratulate me.
I just want to thank them, thank everybody, and
well, thank yourself because you're an American citizen too now.
Yeah, I'm very proud. Oh, good. I'm very proud to be American.
That I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law.
The reason I try to be American, the reason because I compared my mind in the since 47 years, this country since back to 1776 after declaration of independent war from British, Great British. I found that this system is really good and I love the people. People real pure, real good, real honest. The country system is real great. So today is my best day. I'm so happy to be, you call me as American.
Oh, well, that's good. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Congratulations, you are America's newest citizens.
Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
That's so exciting to see people who love America,
yes,
who understand the importance, who understand you got to pass a test to understand the, you know, things that a lot of, they don't even teach this stuff in the, schools.
No.
As a matter of fact, there's an oath that you have to swear to become a citizen. It'd be good if we all actually took the oath. It'd help
us
understand what it takes, you know, to be able to be a citizen. John, can you read this oath to us? If you're going to become a citizen, this is what they were doing. You have to raise your right hand and swear.
And swear.
This oath to
it's
America.
It's called the Naturalization Oath of Allegiance to the United States of America.
So you don't just say it, you actually have to agree with it.
You have to agree with it.
Yes,
you're
okay.
Raising your hand. This is the real deal.
Okay.
I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have been heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear truth and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform work of national importance under the civilian direction when required by the law, and that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
So help me God. That is so important. Wow. That is a commitment, a list of commitments that everybody makes, and we as citizens need to lock into that as well.
Yeah.
And it helps us really understand, you know, how important this is. As a matter of, Michelle's even speaking about this, right?
Yes.
What did she say?
This is Michelle Malkin,
mm-hmm,
and she's doing a wonderful job in sharing with us through Prager University the importance of citizenship, the importance of coming to the United States legally, and she breaks it down to us, because many people think that America now, if you listen to some of the quote-unquote fake news, that we don't want anyone to come to our nation. Well, that's not the truth. We have a lot of people that are coming to our nation, and we're welcoming our arms. Take a look.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. These poetic lines, engraved on a bronze plaque beneath the Statue of Liberty, speak to who we are, a nation of immigrants. Until now. As Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer lamented, tears are running down the cheeks of the Statue of Liberty. We've turned our backs on those huddled masses, closed our borders, separated families, hardened our hearts. Or so you would think if you only read the headlines or watch TV news. Just one problem. It's not true. The United States still maintains the most generous immigration policies in the world. Generous to a fault, because the overwhelming numbers have stymied our ability to assimilate the huddled masses. 50 million residents of America are foreign-born. In fact, today the United States has more immigrants as a percentage of its total population than at any time since 1890. That's why, to give one illustration, 176 different languages are spoken among students in the New York City school system. How did we get here? For starters, America grants permanent residence to 1 million people every single year. And that's just the tip of the iceberg because of something you've probably heard referred to as chain migration. Chain migration allows immigrants to sponsor not only their immediate family, parents, spouses, and children under age 21, but much of their extended family once they gain citizenship, unmarried adult children and any children they might have, married adult children and their children, and brothers and sisters and their children. Princeton University researchers, using the most recently available data, found that immigrants sponsored an average of 3.45 additional relatives each. So the 1 million immigrants granted permanent residence each year potentially adds, over time, another 3.5 million. In addition, an estimated 100,000 refugees and asylum seekers, people who claim to be fleeing political or personal strife abroad, enter the country annually. From 2008 to 2017, the U.S. gave green cards to well over 1 million people for humanitarian reasons, allowing them to live and work here permanently. After 5 years, they can apply for full citizenship. We're not done yet. In that same time frame, nearly 500,000 more people came to America through the Diversity Visa Lottery, a program designed to admit more people from underrepresented countries into the U.S. Diversity visa applicants don't need a high school education, job skills, or pretty much anything. And thanks again to chain migration, spouses and unmarried children under 21 of visa lottery winners also get to come to America. This nonstop flow of new legal immigrants, based on family ties instead of skills, abilities, and allegiance to American values, has of course been supplemented by millions who enter the country illegally and stay illegally. Dominant media outlets use the euphemism undocumented, but the official U.S. government term used in federal statutes is illegal alien, an unlawful entrant who came without permission and stays in open defiance of our laws. The number of illegal aliens in the country is usually given as 11 million. But have you noticed that number never seems to change? Common sense suggests it's higher, much higher. And though illegal aliens themselves don't qualify for welfare, they receive free health care in our clinics and hospitals, and through their American-born children, they can expect to receive all manner of benefits, cash aid, food stamps, and housing vouchers. Their children are entitled to a free education in public schools. Building a high-tech border barrier would certainly help stem this flow. Ending chain migration is another obvious remedy. E-Verify, the national database that allows employers to check workers' immigration status, is also essential. So is a fully functioning entry-exit system to track visa overstayers. But all solutions will ultimately fail unless we get control of the numbers and enforce our laws consistently. It's Sovereignty 101. This is our home, and we have not only the right, but the responsibility to determine who comes in, how many come in, and what qualities and qualifications they bring. The truth is, we let in millions. And of course, millions more want to come. Who can blame them? But it's simply not possible or desirable to let in everyone. And it's not hateful to say so. It's not hateful to protect our borders. It's not hateful to protect our citizens. It's not hateful to protect our values. Lady Liberty may be shedding tears, not because we've stopped welcoming immigrants, but because our ill-conceived immigration policies are threatening the American dream. I'm Michelle Malkin, CRTV host and author of Invasion and Sold Out for Prager University.
That is so important. Michelle did such a good job. It reminds me of what President Trump's talking about in regards to our borders. Let's see what the president has to say about our borders.
We're here today to salute the incredibly brave patriots who keep America safe. Everyone here today understands a vital truth that America is a land of opportunity because we are a nation of laws. For America to be a strong nation, we must have strong borders. You are the patriots, and you are the heroes, you are the fighters, and you are the warriors for justice. You are great people. I'm honored every single day to serve as your commander-in-chief. I will never leave your side. I will never leave the fight. I will never, ever let you down. So on behalf of a grateful nation, let me say thank you for your service. You are truly incredible people.
That's President Trump talking about the people who actually helps maintain the border that Michelle was talking about,
yes,
and that we're talking about. Without borders, you have a nation.
Yeah.
One of the jobs of the President of the United States constitutionally,
chief responsibility
is to maintain the borders of the nation.
Absolutely. Which we've been talking about all the wonderful people and well-meaning people that want to come to our nation.
Yes.
But let us not forget that there are a lot of people that have come into our nation to do evil.
Right.
You've got the drug cartels, people from other countries that are trying to do terrorist things in our nation. You've got to have people that are standing on those borders, and thank God for these Border Patrol agents that are protecting our nation.
Yeah, I know one time in my law enforcement career, when I was in law enforcement, I was looking at how to advance in law enforcement, because normally sometimes they don't pay enough for local law enforcement at that time. And so I was looking at Border Patrol.
Yeah. You know, actually, I considered it too, and I was a criminal justice major.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They told me that I should go. I said, I don't know about that.
Bilingual, you're able to do it. Yeah. I wasn't bilingual. But I started thinking about those borders. It's like a lonely area to maintain. These are just amazing people who say, we will help you, America. And for the amount of money that we pay those officers to do that, and it's so difficult that even people that are coming over illegally, we have people out there that are putting water out there to make sure that they don't die in this long, dry journey coming over. It's just, it's better to come in legally, to come to a place, you know, and hook up. There's all kinds of different ways that you can come. I think about a friend of mine, her name is Laura Satone. She was in Jamaica, and she wanted to come to America. Mm-hmm. And what she did was she got a work visa. You know, she got sponsored over. She built a relationship with somebody in America. We have friends around the country. We build relationships. And you can sponsor you. You come over and work and get a work visa. You go through a process of that. And after 5 years of working, you're proving your citizenship. You're learning the language. You're learning the country.
It's beautiful.
Then you can apply for citizenship.
Absolutely.
You might not even want to once you've come here for a while.
And many people, I know people that go back to their country because they didn't like
it. Right.
But if you come here illegally, you can be taken advantage of. How many people
are illegally being
taken advantage of? They're coming in unsafe conditions in trucks. They can die.
It's happened.
And human trafficking as well.
Hundreds have died.
It's better to come the right way so that you know that you're here and you can stay here.
But I want to remind us as the church, there's no borders for love. You know, we should be concerned about the people that are in our country, people that are outside of our country, people that are many countries away, going out as missionaries, sending support through like Samaritan Purse, through Operation Blessing, and all the different agencies that are out there, or just going yourself, or through VFNKB love boxes. You know, but in regards to how a country is maintained, in the very Constitution of the United States says the president's number one job is to be able to maintain the borders of that nation.
Absolutely.
Because you don't have one without that. I want to be able to pray right now. We want to pray for, maybe you're thinking like, I want to come to America. Listen, there's so many job opportunities right now in America that we need more people than we have.
Absolutely.
More jobs than people qualified to work those jobs now, because God is blessing our nation at this particular time. So we just want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray right now, Father God, that you'll begin to touch many people's hearts across the world, that you are calling to prepare to come to America, to be an American citizen, to learn our language, to embrace our values, Father God, and to walk alongside of us, Father God, to be able to be a part. E pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one, we're united, we're as one. God, and we ask you to, in addition to that, dear Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the BFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.